It's time for Windows Weekly, episode 300, everybody. We've got the latest news on Surface Pro. The Outlook comes out of beta. Steve Ballmer makes some strange comments. We'll analyze. It's all ahead. Paul and Mary Jo and Windows Weekly are next.
Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is TWiT.
Bandwidth for Windows Weekly is provided by CacheFly at CacheFly.com.
This is Windows Weekly with Paul Thurrott and Mary Jo Foley. Episode 300, recorded February 21st, 2013. All hat, no pixels. Windows Weekly is brought to you by Podio from Citrix. Manage your projects with files, instant communication, and collaboration all in one workspace. Start using Podio today absolutely free. Just visit Podio.com to sign up, set up your first workspace, then invite your team to get started. Work the way you want to with Podio.com. And by Carbonite Online Backup. Automatic, continuous, unlimited backup for your computer files, just $59 a year. Try it free at Carbonite.com and use the offer code Windows to get 2 bonus months with purchase. And by RingCentral. I love my cloud-based phone system from RingCentral. Zero startup costs, and RingCentral is $20 per month per user. Try it now with a 30-day risk-free trial, and when you buy one desk phone, you'll get a second phone free, up to 20 phones. Call 800-543-9980 or visit RingCentral.com and use the promo code TWIT. It's time for Windows Weekly, the 300th episode. Where's my vuvuzela when I need it? Paul Thurrott, Mary Jo Foley. What episode number did you join us on, Mary Jo?
I was trying to think of that the other day. I'm not sure.
Because you were a guest a few times, but then you became a regular a year ago.
It's been here at least a year and a half. I think it was...
Yep.
Yeah. So you probably have half of these 300 are yours.
Some.
I'm going to take the next 100 off, so... Have fun.
happy 300. It's hard to believe 300 episodes. Paul Thurrott and I have been doing this, and that means since roughly 6 years.
Yeah,
it does. If I go to twit.tv/ww1, I can find out when our first Windows Weekly was.
I'm going to guess it was September 2006. Well,
I'll tell you in a moment.
Was it before Vista launched?
Was it before? Wow.
Yeah, the gravy days.
September 28th. Very good.
Yeah. It was all upside from there, Leo.
2006. Yep. Wow. Wow. That's right, because we spent a lot of time talking about the move to Vista.
I had smaller hats.
Okay, we haven't mentioned the hat. And for those listening on audio, you can continue to disregard the hat.
Yeah, just disregard. Please.
But
God,
that
please.
Is the biggest ass hat. Now, I bought a big hat because I went to meet Charlie Daniels, and I was told he had a very, very large hat. So I bought the biggest hat I could get.
And understand that this is actually my daughter's hat.
Oh, my
so
God.
So on her, this would be like a sundress, you know?
You got that in Cancun.
Yep.
You were in Mexico over the last week. Since we talked to you last.
Yep.
Wow.
Yeah, we left Friday morning and came back last night.
Did you have fun?
Yeah, sometimes. You know, my kids did.
It's for the kids. You're doing it for the children. Mary Jo, what are you trying to... You can't... Like there's nothing you can do, Mary Jo, to get rid of that hat. It's just going to be there.
I was trying to wipe the hat away. It wouldn't work.
No, I'm afraid not.
There we go.
Hey, that's even better. Now it's now it looks like it's your chair.
Oh, that feels
Did
better.
You go to Senior Frogs?
No, but it is there.
Oh, it's there. It's everywhere in Mexico. Mary Jo says, oh, no, he didn't. So, you know, this has been an interesting week, and I guess a little later on I will ask Paul when Mary Jo's not listening about what you thought about the PlayStation 4 announcement yesterday. And just before we went on, Google announced the Google Pixel Chromebook.
Yep. I know.
Which we thought was, you know, we played that video 2 weeks ago on Twit, and I said, you know, I don't know if this is true or not. Then last week on Twit, we said, you know, it's not true. This company, it's very sketch and shady. This is not. And then today, Google announces it. It was true.
And it's crazy.
If I'm understanding the math on this correctly, you're paying about $250 for the Chromebook and about $1,100 for the screen. Because it is a crazy expensive web-only device.
The 32-bit version, 32-gig version is $1,299, $1,300.
It's crazy.
If you want LTE and 64 gigs, $1,450. That's so not consonant with the current prices. I mean, that's more than a MacBook Air, which is a real computer.
How much does a web browser cost? Remind me.
Free! I know. It's nice. I am baffled.
Yeah, it's weird. It makes sense when it's like a $200 piece of hardware, right?
The Chromebook. Yeah.
But here's the other thing. So obviously there's a market for machines that cost that much. Apple sells tons of MacBook Airs, et cetera.
I think ThinkPad Carbon costs that much.
But they're beautiful looking.
Right.
And they run a full operating system. They have onboard storage. This new thing is it's weird in that it is incredibly ugly. You know, it's not, it's like
it's
industrial
boxy.
Looking.
It's boxy.
Looks like something that a kid would make in a high school metal class. Like it's not, it's a fake laptop that they hammered out of metal sheets, you know? It really has a weird look to it.
Battery life? Do we know?
I can't find anything that says battery life. I've been looking around.
I mean, it would have to be 25 hours.
It's probably closer to 25 minutes, but yeah, we'll see.
I mean, seriously, but it's not going to be that much because it's such a huge...
all month battery. That's what it should be.
It should go forever, and you should get unlimited online storage. And I mean, it just for that price, it seems like they should offer you something.
Clearly, those screens. And I don't understand. You know, this is the new escalation. Remember the good old days? It was always megahertz, right? Megahertz were the big thing. Now we've gone through years and years where the speed of the computer almost doesn't matter. Almost. I mean, obviously, Atom-type machines are an issue and so forth. But, you know, mainstream PCs, that's no longer an issue.
Megapixels are the new megahertz.
Yeah, it's the pixels now. Like, these Retina displays, like, Apple kicked off this new Cold War, whatever it is.
With the Retina.
It's like it's crazy how focused people are on this. I just did this, by the way.
4.3 megapixels, 12.85-inch screen. But in this weird 3:2 format.
Yeah. It looks square, basically.
It's
like the old, you know, like laptops used to look like, you know, 10 years ago.
Should I buy one of these and just to have have it? It's available.
I'm telling you. Of course it is. Yeah, I don't know. This is not a...
2560 by 1700 is 239
by the way,
pixels.
Right there. Battery up to 5 hours.
5 hours. Yeah. Up to. It's an i5 with integrated HD... 4,000.
It's like $300 an hour. You know, that's what you're paying right there.
You do get a terabyte of cloud storage for 3 years and 12 free GoGo in-flight internet sessions.
There you go.
GoGo. It's Gorilla Glass, backlit chrome keyboard, HD webcam, two USB 2. Mm-hmm. It's not even Ivy Bridge.
It's a Core i5 processor, which is interesting. It must need that to drive.
The
resolution.
Yeah, it's not even the processor. It's about the graphics card. And I don't know how snappy that's going to be with a HD 4000 graphics. Very odd.
It's basically the Surface Pro.
4 gigs of RAM, 32 gigs solid state drive. It's the Surface Pro if you didn't have an operating system and just had Chrome on it.
Yep.
I've always had the question, is that really anything anybody wants? And a lot of people say, no, we do want this. Okay.
I'm certainly old fashioned in some ways by this point, but every time I've picked up a Chromebook, I've had this, and I have one. I have the same response because they'll come out with updates. Like you can see in that screenshot, this is the new version of Chrome OS where it has like a Windows 7 style taskbar and everything. So I remember when that update came out, I turned it back on, dusted it off, downloaded the update. And I have that same feeling every time. It's just, it's so confining.
It's a tease.
You know, you think like, yeah, I could do this. And, you know, no.
No.
Although this is the debate, you know, we had with Mary Jo where Windows RT is kind of the same thing, right? Where I feel like for a lot of people, you're going to hit that wall.
Right.
You want to browse, you know, in the case of RT, you might want like a browser plugin or a desktop app or whatever. And the Chrome is like that, you know. Chrome OS, rather, where, like, I love running Chrome in Windows, you know, because I can do other stuff.
Yeah. And can I point out that Google is not famous for its support? So now you're buying a laptop from a company that uses Python scripts for support.
Actually, Leo, that's not fair because you can search for everything you need.
Just Google it.
I don't understand.
Google it.
When my wife bought her first Android phone, that's literally what the Verizon people told her. She said, is there some kind of a book?
It's
and the guy said, no, you just Google. If anything you need, you know, it's all out there. She says, what if I need to know how to get online?
You can mail. Yeah. You know, I think Google has a mail interface, a snail mail interface. You send them a postcard with your query.
I hope that's true, by the way. That would be so awesome.
Amit says, you guys, you're forgetting. It's touch enabled.
Yep. No, that sells it. There you go.
That to me is the thing that makes it the least interesting or attractive.
Isn't that what
a traditional laptop with touch?
Isn't that what Microsoft learned is that you can enable touch, but if you don't have an operating system that where it's deeply integrated, it doesn't do you any good.
Oh, we have that, Leo. It's called Windows 7.
And it's awesome. I'm still running it. It's great.
Yeah. No, I mean, as a touch OS. You know,
well,
in other words,
look,
Windows,
I'm sitting
Windows
in front
7
of,
has touch.
Yeah, you know? No, I'm sitting in front of a this is the HP Compaq, you know, convertible, it has a stylus, but it's running XP, and the touch thing is just like a thin layer on top of XP, and so it just doesn't, you know, OneNote was great on that. It's a OneNote machine.
Listen, anyone who has tried to use the desktop with any touch-enabled Windows machine has had this experience. I just did this when I was in Cancun, actually, where you're trying to hit, like, a thing, whatever it is, on the screen, and you're like, no, seriously.
Come on.
Seriously.
No, I'm like, touching you. I'm touching you.
You're literally physically hitting the exact right area, and the screen makes a little impression like it's done something.
You actually dent. You dent the screen. It still doesn't respond.
That's great. But listen, welcome to that world, Chrome OS users. You're going to love it.
Yeah. Yeah. As a Microsoft guy, you know the world of
the web comes alive when you can touch it, Leo. It comes alive.
Stop touching me.
That's why I was saying IaaS earlier. You know, it's nothing like spending $1,500 on a display, and then you want me to touch this thing? What, are you crazy? It's like a piece of fine art. Why would I want to touch this? I want to put it in something protective, and never touch it again. You know,
unbelievable.
It's crazy.
Unbelievable. Oh well, I just you know, like with the Google Q, we're just left scratching our heads, saying I don't know what they're thinking here.
Yes.
All right. Now, there is good news from Microsoft. We're going to talk about Outlook, some Windows Blue news. Maybe it hit a milestone this week. We'll get an update on Surface Pro, Skype, and a whole lot more. Mary Jo Foley from allaboutmicrosoft.com is here. Paul Theroux from the Supersite for Windows, winsupersite.com. And you're watching Windows Weekly, our show today, brought to you by the folks at Citrix who have done it again. They've really become adept at creating new products to help you in your work. And this is called Podio. And we started using this. Actually, I was shown Podio right after Citrix acquired it. And I signed up for an account. So I've had an account for quite some time. The idea behind Podio, and by the way, it's absolutely free. You could try this absolutely free. Actually, try or use, whatever. It's free. The idea behind this is that you've got bits and pieces of your work scattered all over an email, in SkyDrive, Office, Google Docs, just all over the place. Podio unifies it, brings it all together in one workspace, along with your team, so that you can all work together. You create a workspace to fit the way you work, and you invite your team to join. In fact, you can do that right now absolutely free. Just go to podio.com. I'm going to log into my Podio account. I've invited my team. You've got the activity stream, which is kind of like Twitter for work, kind of like Yammer or something like that, except I really like it, and it integrates in all the tasks. There's great new real-time collaboration environments involved with this as well. Of course, it's from Citrix. Wouldn't it be live? Wouldn't it be real-time enabled? You just got to try this. And again, I got to underscore this. It doesn't cost you a penny. It's free. This is not a free trial. It's free. Sign up Set up your first workspace, invite your team, and then see what you could do with Podio. Podio.com. Start using Podio today. It's free. Visit Podio.com, sign up, set up your first workspace, and invite your team to get started. Work the way you want to with Podio.com. We use it to manage our sales teams. We use it for projects. The next time we do a live event like CES, Podio will be all over it. It's really fabulous. All right. IESE Outlook.com has gone out of beta. It is now an official product. But what does that mean? I mean, anybody has been able to use it for some time, right? It's just like an acknowledgement we're out of beta?
Yeah, basically.
It's because it's not a change in how it operates right
now. No. Okay. The new piece was they announced they're moving everyone who has a Hotmail account to Outlook.com.
Oh, it's time.
It's time.
Outlook is gone. Hotmail. Outlook is here. Hotmail is gone.
Outlook is here.
Outlook's here.
Gone.
I'm sorry. Yeah, no, it's here.
That's okay.
It's here.
So when you look at what this is really, it's basically Microsoft saying we're going to change your look and feel of Hotmail.
It's all Metro.
To what Outlook is. Yeah.
Our modern.
Well, not all of it, Leo. That's the problem.
It's modern UI.
Yeah. Not all of it.
Not all of it?
So click on
the calendar and see what happens.
Okay, calendar.
This is fun because it's like going back in time to when we started doing the podcast.
Loading.
Literally.
Welcome to the Hotmail calendar. Wait a minute. What are they talking about? Oh, that looks just like Hotmail.
Yeah.
Yeah, ancient Hotmail.
Yeah. We found new birthdays in your contact list. They should show up soon. You can see I've not used it.
You're not alone, Leo.
why is it that they didn't Metro-fy this? And why does it still say Hotmail here? Let me click my Hotmail inbox. Is it going to take me to
how
Hotmail?
How many months have they been saying it's real soon now? Since last June, July, I think.
It also brings me to mail.live.com, so they still haven't even phased that out.
Yeah, I wouldn't worry about the URL stuff too much. I mean, obviously, this is designed to be a replacement. So it's hotmail.com, mail.live.com, outlook.com. I mean, these things all, you know, same, all resolving to the same places.
Microsoft Personal Data Dashboard. So I clicked the settings on my, because I'm getting ads because I haven't paid for, actually, I have, wait a minute. Didn't I bought Office. Doesn't that give me a paid for outlook.com? No,
because the Office 365 Home Premium doesn't include. Yeah, it's not. That's not.
So
part
I have
of
to
it.
Pay more for that.
And yes. we should if you also to, note Outlook is not Outlook.com. Just to keep things even more.
Yeah, so Outlook.com is the website, and it is the new Hotmail/LiveMail. Outlook desktop is Outlook. Always still Outlook.
I'm going to get this wrong, but years ago, Microsoft had something they called the Outlook web app.
Yeah, the Outlook web. Yeah, web access.
They changed the name to Outlook web access.
A lot of companies use that.
Now they have Word web app,
right?
You know, Excel web app, etc.
But that's not what this
Outlook.com
is.
Outlook.com is not these things. It's very confusing. It's one of those things. Microsoft is reusing names like they did with Surface and. It makes sense to call it
in the world. I think that's
Outlook is the name that people associate with Microsoft email. But Outlook.com is a tough name, I would say, for something. You know, in other words, we never refer to Gmail.com. We call it Gmail. You know,
right?
It's tough from a branding perspective because we have to continually be explicit about which one we're talking about.
Okay, so it's out of beta. One of the things they said, and I thought this was interesting, that they have, 60 million users?
Although, actually, I meant to ask Mary Jo about this beforehand. 60 million since, I guess, the preview went live. They didn't specify, at least not to me, how many of those were existing Hotmail users who just switched to the Outlook.com interface and how many were new.
Like us.
People signing. Yeah, right. Because I use my Hotmail address through Outlook.com.
Right.
I assume I'm included in that list of 60 million. And then I guess since the announcement of this service leaving preview mode, they said that 1.5 million new users had joined in the first 24 hours since that occurred. I guess. And those presumably, because they say it, are new users, not Hotmail users making the switch.
I thought it was Hotmail users making the switch, actually.
The 60? Oh, you did? Or the 1.5?
The 1.5.
That 1.5, new people signed up this last 24 hours.
You're taking it to mean that, in other words, we've moved the first 1.5 million over.
Right. And or people got an email and said, it said, hey, we're closing Hotmail. You should upgrade.
Right.
And they clicked on something.
What is the time frame for... closing's not the right word. It's really more like redesigning, rebranding. Is it the Hotmail server in the background, or are they moving everybody to an exchange?
It's literally like a free BSD server, right?
No, it was. When they bought Hotmail, they converted it over to IIS, but it was, yeah. But Hotmail is its own protocol. It's not IMAP or POP. It's something else, or Exchange.
Well,
I'm wondering if they're going to move that over.
Yeah, it's the same. It is the same as Hotmail. So Hotmail supports its own proprietary weirdness, but in more recent years, they've supported Exchange Active Sync. So that is how you would configure a client. Yeah.
Its own proprietary weirdness. I like that. That's a good term.
Well, it's, you know, it required weird software, even on Microsoft stuff. You know, to use Hotmail on older versions of Outlook, you needed a special connector software because you had
to bridge
those two worlds, you know.
They also said that half of the 60 million were Gmail refugees. I thought that was interesting.
Oh, you know that. Okay, so that is somewhere then.
Yeah, I saw that.
Okay.
Yeah, I saw that somewhere too. I'm trying to think.
I don't know how they know that. unless they're porting their Gmail account over in some way. And I think this is tied to Skrugled, right? Like they're saying, look, see, all these people don't want their... Their email search for ads. And for
it is perhaps not coincidental that they started up Skrugled just as the service was going live, if you will. I'm not really clear that anything has changed other than the fact that they just kind of announced, hey, we're going live with it. I mean, on the day that I talked to them about this service the first time, last June or July, whenever that was, I remember I was asked Brian Hall what's going on with Calendar. And he said, you know, we're going to get to that, obviously. We find that most people who access Calendar do it from a device anyway, so they'll never see the web interface. So it's less of a priority. And I thought that was fine for June, July, you know. But, I mean, I asked them about Calendar because people ask me this all the time, email and Twitter, what's going on with Calendar? And I've asked them 5-6 times, as recently as last week, actually. Coincidental to this. I didn't know this was happening. You know, what's up with Calendar? And it's always been the same answer. We don't have anything to say. We'll let you know when we do. You know,
they told somebody who they talked to this week that it was going to be very soon. Like, I think they got a very out of them.
So, but why wouldn't you just wait for that?
I don't know.
It's so strange.
I know. One person I know said to me they think the reason Calendar is taking so long is the team that's dedicated to Calendar is really small compared to the other parts of this team, but I don't know.
Sure.
There's only two of us. Give us a break.
Exactly. Give us two
and
people.
And we're only 3 feet tall.
I mean, seriously, all they basically need is a web designer.
It's
you just
CSS.
Have to rewrite the CSS. Yeah, exactly. I mean, that's what I'm saying.
I don't know.
Just make it look like...
I bet we can get a volunteer from the chat room to do it. Here's the
it's
ad.
It's not hard to imagine what this might look like.
Here's the ad for Microsoft's running for Outlook.com. Get going is the tagline. Guy in a SUV. Oh, my God. He just rolled it. He's
by the way, explosion. It's always a good idea to show a car crash in a promotional video for your product.
It makes me want to use it. And that's Matt Berg, delivery man, now stunt man. And there's hip-hop music and cooking. And
so it's like a car crash, a woman with a knife.
Now, yeah. Maybe no, this is all intentional. A drill. They don't do this by accident.
And the
this
guy
is,
from Saw.
Yeah. This is to get you... this is to make you feel funny in your butt. And that's a guy using a Pixel.
Get sharing. Ron.
How for the grand finale. Hovercraft. The guy has built a hovercraft in his garage, and he's the typical Outlook user. And then his friend says, what the...
It lets you share, organize, and stay up to date. Like
and his friend calls it an airstrike. It's like he's learned too much.
Email gets you going. So the premise is if you use email, you could become a stuntman, a master chef, or build a hovercraft in your garage.
I pointed out today or yesterday that Microsoft is advertising on YouTube. And
yeah,
they're advertising.
Yeah.
Oh, you saw that ad there. So,
well, yeah, well, this is on their MSFT Outlook account on YouTube.
Right, but if you go to YouTube.com, that ad is actually at the top of YouTube.
Interesting.
So I thought that was kind of interesting because the way that they're advertising it on YouTube is that one of the features of Outlook.com is that if someone sends you the URL for a YouTube video, you don't need to go to YouTube because it will play the YouTube video right inside of Outlook.com. And somebody on Twitter, I wish I could remember who it was, I'm sorry, made the interesting point that who shares YouTube videos on email?
Email. Oh, like yeah. I email videos all that. You know who does? Old people.
Yeah.
Old people.
Which is kind of the running gag about Hotmail. You know, yeah. I don't know if you guys watched The League, but there was a great joke about Hotmail in there where they described Hotmail as the email, I believe it was the email service for old people and terrorists. You know.
There's a commercial. They could use that for an ad.
But it is okay. Now that we've had our fun, I do think it's.
Oh, I actually use Outlook.
Absolutely, so. And I think it's very interesting to embed live stuff. Not just, you start with YouTube, but you might have tweets and other stuff kind of in it. This is what Twitter's doing, right? So if you go to twitter.com and you've tweeted a picture, the picture's in line. So this is an interesting way of doesn't Gmail do that already? I mean, I would think
yeah,
it's YouTube,
of course,
right?
They must
do that.
The thing is, though, you know, there's a case to be made that people who use the desktop Outlook client live in it, you know, that there is a certain class of user, IT pros or information workers or whatever, who through some kind of weird Stockholm syndrome, like really like Outlook for some reason and are in it like all day long. And it's because I think their whole life is right there in front of them. Right. Every interaction that they're having occurs in there. And for whatever it's worth, it's getting better all the time in the sense that, you know, now Skype is integrated and Link, and they can start phone calls from a place that makes sense because that's where the person's phone number would be. And, you know, it makes a certain amount of sense. But I'm not really sure that this is how it works for web-based email, you know. And I have no data to support this contention, but I suspect that most people access these email accounts from other things. Devices, email clients
mobile,
on PCs.
Mobile, mostly, right? Isn't that how we do
everything
now?
I would think so. Yeah.
Mobile.
By the way, now that I've said that, and I am an old guy, so I fit really nicely into this segment. I do, in fact, use the web interface for Outlook.com, and I like it a lot. But I don't know. As you tack on stuff to it, it sort of makes me think, it's not really clear how many people really need that stuff.
You use it.
I mean, I need it. Clearly.
On your Windows phone, does it look kind of the same? Does it have its own unique?
No, because on Windows phone, it has a single email app, and you just integrate it in there, and they all look and work the same, basically, aside from a few unique features. But
now I got an email in my Outlook inbox.
Okay.
Amazing.
Let's look at it. Is there a YouTube video link to it?
No, but there is a suggestion that I might want to use Skype. The funny thing is, I've already tied my Skype account to my Microsoft account.
And that's not actually a suggestion. That's extortion. You are going to be using Skype, so
keep chatting with all your Messenger contacts. If you ever want to see your Messenger contacts alive, you will upgrade.
I'm
going to
make you an
Skype
offer you can't refuse.
Starting April 8th, we're going to do it, whether you want to or not.
Yep.
This is a bit later.
I call this one Skypled.
Skypled.
You know, in the interest of fairness, I thought that the people who didn't like the scroogle thing would appreciate my word Skypled.
Now, why, I wonder, you know, so I'm looking at my ads, the ads that I get on my Outlook, and, of course, they're not targeted because, as we know...
You'll notice they're terrible. And
Microsoft doesn't
not
read my mail. So
and you can
as
tell
a result,
they're not reading it.
I've got an ad for a sanding belt.
Which is the type of thing one might use if they were torturing someone. They were trying to force to use Skype.
I don't have the tool that the belt goes on, but they're offering me the belt. Under Armour Warp Speed t-shirts.
Yep.
Yeah. To me, this is not. And then DuraVent stainless steel. They think I'm a home improvement guy.
You can go to a restaurant where the placemat is made out of paper and it's all ads for local stuff. You know what I'm saying?
This is an ad for VentingDirect.com where they're going to sell me stainless steel ducting.
Yep.
I am really not. They must think I'm a handyman.
Who it's wears impossible to know what they think.
Is this based on anything? By the way, throwing
stuff at a wall.
This Duravent stainless steel tubing is $1,100. I am not going to buy $1,100 worth of tubing.
It must be made out of that retina displaced material.
It's high res.
Whatever it's called, the pixel display.
I'd rather have a targeted ad, I guess. Wait a minute. Here's something. What the hell? I don't even know what this is. What is a Festool Sander? What the hell? Festool Sander Row 125 Feck Edge Protector. And that's a picture of it.
Yeah,
from McFeely's. What the hell? I don't even know what that is. Is it for a horse? It's only $11. Maybe I'll just buy it.
Buy it from McFeely's Seed and Baggage Company.
What the hell is that? So in a way, I'd rather have. Here's a trowel.
Actually, you know what you'd rather have?
A pocket trowel.
You'd rather have no ads.
Yeah, I would rather have
making
no
a
ads.
Compelling case for Hotmail Plus or whatever they're calling it.
Well, they're not
days.
Making any money off of me. That's for sure.
Yeah, and that's the thing. Like those kind of ads. I mean,
I think this is almost humorous.
Yeah.
I've never. You know what's funny though is they've probably been this way all along. I just never noticed because I never look at them.
Right.
So,
yeah.
Another problem.
And to be fair, if you access this from your Windows phone or
you won't see that.
You know, the mail app or whatever, you would never. Right. You'd never see it. Obviously, there's no ads.
This is because I have no brand. I went to my dashboard. They have a new thing now. You can go to your ad dashboard and you can see what your brand preferences are. And apparently, I have none. So this is the default. If you don't.
We've determined that you live in Omaha, are a farmer.
I have no idea.
And you drive a pickup truck. Here are some ads for you.
Oh, this goes with the power sanding belt. Dr. Mom says it's to protect the edges of something you're power sanding.
I learn something every day on this podcast, Leo.
Fascinating. Do you think 30 million Google users, Gmail users, have fled Outlook.com?
They're saying a third. I just looked
it
up.
Oh, a third. 20
yeah,
million.
So that 20 million. But
that's
still.
That's a lot.
That is a
lot. That's pretty good. That's pretty good.
I wonder where they get the number.
I know. It's a Microsoft stat with no explanation how. You know.
Which is way better than just no explanation. So.
Yeah.
There at least it's a stat.
So there, Google.
And by the way, I feel like I'm dumping on Outlook.com. I just want to reinforce the notion that
it's good.
Outlook.com is actually a really good service. I really like it.
I would say
literally
that's the consensus.
Do use it.
Yep.
Yeah.
The chat room looks nice.
It's really nice.
It's very nice.
Yep.
It's prettier than Gmail. Gmail is a little fiddly, lots of details and stuff. Outlook's cleaner.
Yep.
I don't use it, so I don't. I mean, I have an account, but I don't use.
And
it.
I do pay for the pro, the plus version, I guess you call it.
Does it have good spam filtering and all that?
Yep. That's one of the things. And every morning when I get up, as anyone here probably does, the part of the routine is at some point you check your email, and I have the two email accounts that I go through, Outlook.com, which funnels all of my personal accounts through. And then I have a work email, which I believe is still on Exchange 2010. But my company apparently does, I don't know what the opposite of spam filtering is. It's like they're collecting spam and then they're sending it to me. So there's literally no spam filtering. And I'd say it was humorous, except that
it's horrible.
Takes up a lot of my time every day. So when I go to Outlook.com in the morning, there's no spam.
It's so much nicer.
And when I go to my work email, it's like spam. I have to really look at it because obviously buried in there are actual emails.
It's one of the things. Spam, remember we used to talk a lot about spam. We don't talk about it much anymore. And it's not because spam has lessened to any degree.
Yeah.
But because
I talk about it every morning because I see it all the time.
Well, you now are getting it. But spam filtering has gotten so good, and almost everybody has it. We're not even aware of it.
Right.
And you only become aware of it when you go to an account where there is no spam filtering, and you go, oh, my God.
Or you could do this. You could go to there's a spam folder, right? And I looked at my, in fact, just this morning, I looked at my Yahoo account for the first time in apparently 16 months. But There was no email in the inbox at all, but there was a spam folder, which I looked at. And they're doing a good job, I have to say, because some of the stuff in there was crazy. But you what I'm saying.
Oh, yeah. I don't get spam anymore in any of my accounts. Because everybody's, I think, kind of figured out how to do it.
That's the way it should be.
Yeah. They've mastered. We have mastered anti-spam. The rumors on Blue continue to fly fast and furious. Last week we were talking about Windows Blue, and it turns out it's more than we thought it was. Mm-hmm. More than just a service pack.
Yes.
And now there's a new rumor that we've hit milestone one.
Yes, another rumor. It's been really interesting to see how many of these rumors are percolating right now around Blue. Because remember, with Windows 8, it was pretty tough to get any kind of leaks. And suddenly, this week, there have been two screenshot leaks that people say are the first screenshots coming out of Windows Blue. And a source of mine said that the reason these screenshots came out was because they hit milestone one. And milestone one's the internal first milestone, major milestone, when they're building Windows. In the past, there used to be three milestones for Windows, and then you'd start having like the private preview builds and the developer builds, consumer preview. But I think with Windows Blue, you're probably going to just, based on what I'm hearing so far, maybe two internal milestone builds. And then I'm not clear if there'll be any developer preview, consumer preview, or if they'll just say, okay, guys, here it is. Here's Blue. The last date that I've heard, and I haven't heard anything new to counteract this, is that Microsoft's trying to get it completed and release it to the web by August or September of this year.
Well, that's soon.
That's soon. Yeah.
Is that in target? If they're in milestone one, are they in target to do that?
Yeah. Supposedly, if this is milestone one, they're on target if there are only two milestones. So, yeah. They could be getting ready to issue Windows Blue this year. And like you just said, Leo, there's more than just Windows Blue, though. There's also Windows Phone Blue, we know, because there was a leaked Microsoft job posting this week, over the weekend, just confirming that as well, that there's Windows Phone Blue. And on that one, from what I've heard, that's not exactly along the same development path as Windows Blue. It's a little bit behind. Okay. So I'm not clear if we'll see Windows Phone Blue this year or next year.
So the milestone's meaningless for the phone version of Blue, just for the desktop.
Yep. Yeah, but it's kind of exciting. It's like, wow, Microsoft actually might start delivering operating system updates like every year instead of every 3 years.
So they'd have to do it by September if they wanted to match to make that. Yeah.
Yeah, I think so.
That's interesting.
Yeah, especially, you know, there were some early leaks, too, saying that one of the things that you could do with Windows Blue was run it on different size hardware, like maybe a mini Surface or a mini Windows 8 tablet, and that it would be optimized for that kind of a 7 or 8 inch form factor. So if that's true, you have to think, okay, who's going to be coming out with new hardware form factors and what timing? You'd think it would probably be fall in time for the holiday, right?
Surface Mini this fall.
Maybe. Who knows?
I like it.
That'd be cool.
I buy it. Surface Pro's kind of back in on the shelves, I guess. Yeah, Staples has them. This is the 128 gig version. They never sold out of the 64 gig, right?
Right.
Nobody wants the 64 gig. that's the consolation prize.
Yeah, that's what you get if you can't.
Yeah, actually, as Mary Jo was talking about Blue, I just checked the Microsoft store. I've been curious about this because. Starting last Saturday, they listed the 128 gig version for sale with delivery by March 1st. You know, so they're basically, Microsoft is not really set up to do reservations. It's not how their system works internally, apparently, but they made this exception for this one because it's been so much demand. And as of today, that thing is still March available 1st. For shipment. It looks like they've caught up, I guess, you know, for whatever demand there is. So we'll see. But, yeah, I had gotten some emails from people who have now seen the 128 gig. I don't know why I can't say that. 128 gig version at Staples.
So you might want to check brick and mortar retail before you order online, but you'll at least get it in a couple of weeks if you order it online.
I think I told the story a couple of weeks ago when this started that a friend of mine independently decided he was going to buy this and was very frustrated. And we had gone to dinner and he was saying, I don't understand why these guys won't take my money. And now, of course,
you couldn't even click the radio button couple of weeks ago.
So he ordered it on Saturday and he told me today that the type keyboard and he got some kind of video adapter both arrived without the device.
That's a
and
tease.
He's like, what is wrong with this freaking company? And I'm like, dude.
They can make the keyboards.
But the type keyboard for
the Pro is the same as the one for the RT, right? So they've had plenty of time. I wish they had some colors. It's a shame.
They are going to at some point. Yeah. They've definitely said that.
And would you use the touch on Windows Pro? You like the touch, Mary Jo.
I don't. I ended up not liking it. I liked it at first. And then once I tried the type, I'm like, what am I doing with the touch?
Type's a real keyboard.
I did the same thing. Yeah.
And would you recommend Microsoft Complete, which is extended warranty, $99?
I think it sounds like a really good deal because it even covers like accidental spills and things like that, or you drop it and you actually do end up breaking it, which it seems really hard to do, but some people have done it. It covers all that.
Right.
No, I don't.
Yeah, unlike
don't
the need, Apple stuff, you know.
I don't need to buy an extra power. This is an extra power supply. It comes with a power supply, doesn't it?
So two points. My power supply died on this trip.
What? Oh, dear.
Yeah, I plugged it in Mexico and
that's your
charge
problem.
The surface. Well, no, nothing happened. Didn't work. And so I brought a Surface RT with me, and that power supply does work with the Surface Pro. It's just slower. It's smaller. And so I was okay there. But, yeah, I checked it when I got home. It's dead. So I guess that's the end of that. And I've heard from some people on the RT side as well that this apparently is a fairly common occurrence in the sense that if three or four people write me about this this is clearly happening to people out in the world. So I've never gone on a trip with a laptop and ever worried about the power supply, right? Like I've never thought, you know, maybe I should bring two of these.
Right.
Because you never know, you know?
Right.
And having one die like me, I was lucky. I don't think most people are going to have an RT, a Surface RT and a Surface Pro. So it's a slightly unusual occurrence.
By the way, this is $50 more than a Chromebook Pixel. And I got the type cover, I got the Microsoft Complete, I got an extra power supply and a padded nylon sleeve. So there.
Yeah.
And it's also widescreen.
Yeah. It's a full operating system.
Sure.
Should I throw in the Xbox as well? Apparently they think I would like one. It's here today.
I want to hold off on that. You know, there's a new one coming, Leo.
Yeah. So I hear.
But Paul, go back to Staples for a sec. So, are you saying some?
Please go back to Staples.
I've heard from two people.
Staples.
Staples was the redheaded stepchild of this whole situation. Right. For some reason, 64 gig only. They weren't talking. I'll try to fish them out for you. I've heard from people who've said they actually have seen them there.
Oh, wow. Interesting.
Yeah.
Because I heard they had a floor model at Staples of 128 gig, but that. They weren't actually in the
store. Maybe
that's
what they saw. Okay, I'll look. I know these both are from today. So
yeah.
Because I know this past week has been the MVP summit in Seattle. So there were like thousands of Microsoft most valuable professionals in town, and they were trying to buy Surface Pros at the Microsoft stores in Bellevue, some at the University Village store in Seattle, and they kept tweeting, "Sold out! It's sold out." They got them. They get them in, and then 5 minutes later, sold out. But we don't know how many are getting into these stores. You know, we still don't know that. Like, is it five? Is it 500?
The one thing I had heard was that the volume of units that they had for this second wave of sales, the first wave being that initial launch weekend, was much bigger than the first wave, and that I think I heard this last week before I went away that. There was then going to be a shortage again, and then they would just sort of come back. And that sort of played out in the sense that on Saturday, the Surface team blogged that once these are sold out, whatever this allotment is they have, is going to be – they actually did come out and publicly state that on the blog, which I've not looked at since. But I find it interesting and maybe pertinent that you can still order this right now on the Thursday after the fact and – have it potentially shipped by the first. So I would say, aside from the MVPs showing up in the same place at the same time, which is like that bizarre microclimate you get like when you go to Tech Ed and everyone has a Windows phone, right, and it's like this beautiful alternate reality. You know, that's obviously not a normal occurrence.
All right, time to play this edition of our brand new game show. What the heck did Steve Ballmer mean? Yes. Let's bring up the quote from Steve Ballmer, and he said something like, Surface is a real business, but will not dominate volume in the PC market.
Yeah.
What does that mean? Time to parse Steve Ballmer.
Well, this has been, it seems like every time anyone from Microsoft opens their mouths, they are misconstrued in some way.
Yes, right? That's our job as the media.
I don't mean, right, okay, but bloggers especially, you know.
Yeah.
Well, I think, you know, the problem is, especially on the Windows enthusiast side, that, you know, I think we're feeling a little beaten down these days, and we're it's almost like we're looking for bad news, you know. So when he says that Surface will not dominate the volume of, you know, won't be the volume, however he said it, will not dominate the volume.
Here's the quote. This is to the MIT Technology Review. In an environment in which there are 350 million PCs sold, I don't think Surface is going to dominate volume, but it's a real business. Yeah. I can parse that. It means it's selling okay. We're happy with it, but but OEMs continue to produce your Surface, your Windows 8 devices because there's plenty of room for us all.
Yep.
Right? I don't know how many
models. And that's what they've been saying. He's been saying this all along, right?
That's the thing. And that's what I wrote my news story about this. This doesn't necessarily represent a change at all. It's interesting anytime he opens his mouth, obviously. So,
well, and they give you so little information about sales numbers that everybody's trying to parse whatever crumbs we can
get. Well, what does dominate volume mean? I mean, if HP has 117 different models of PCs and Dell has 112.
Right.
And Lenovo has, you know, their number.
Nothing.
There's no one PC that dominates anything.
And it's a real. But here's what a real business implies: that it's successful enough. We plan to continue it. We're happy with the results.
Maybe more to the point, though. It's not an experiment, right, and it's not what so many people had alleged, which was this is something Microsoft will go to market with to show OEMs.
It's not a reference design,
right? How they can do it, and then once the real PC makers figure it out, they'll exit the market.
Yeah. No, it's a real business.
A real business means it's got a P&L.
Right.
You know, we expect to make money making these things. We're not doing this to lose money every quarter. You know, not like Microsoft has any businesses like that.
And you're going to make more of them, right?
Yeah. Yeah. And it's an ongoing concern. It's something you will update with new models and
good.
Because you don't want people buying them now thinking like this is abandonware. You
know? Right. Right.
I know, which is something of some Surface RT users are worried about. They're like, you know, there aren't a lot of new ARM-based Windows RT PCs or tablets coming. Like, is this the end of the line? Like, is it going to be a one-off
thing? Is this a BlackBerry playbook?
Yep.
Yeah.
I hear no, but I know a number of Surface RT users are worried that this was just like a fun little side project.
To play devil's advocate, as long as they're selling it, you're not going to hear Steve Ballmer say, we're probably not going to make any more of those. That was a flop.
Yeah. Although I will say this on RT. I mean, obviously there's a very healthy debate you could have about the future of RT and whether you think it has a future and all that. But the companies that elected to sit out RT, the first generation, you know, Samsung and HP and I think Dell, you know, whoever they were, are never coming back.
They're not making an RT.
No, I don't see that ever happen. You know what I mean? I think that's the one serious negative that is not a huge debate. You know, that unless something crazy happens, I don't see them ever reversing course in that. Those companies understand the PC market. They want to make PCs. That's their bread and butter. They're going to stick with that. And I think that's going to be the volume market for Windows. Regardless.
And they can afford to say, we're going to wait and see if the tablet market does, you know, are we in a post-PC world? We don't know. But when that becomes clear, well, we can make an RT then. There's no urgency to do it now. Right?
We don't have this in the notes. And in fact, we probably should have talked about HP a little bit because, you know, HP is now rumored to be making an Android tablet. And it is very interesting how Microsoft's relationship with HP has changed because... Not that we know any internal details, But HP is the company that always followed Microsoft to market with whatever it was. Right. The Pocket PC, the weird media center stuff and the media center extenders and the, you know, the smart displays and the tablet PC. They were always first on board with everything. You know, during the Longhorn days, they used to do reference designs for hardware like the Athena PC. And they were always on board to be first with whatever Microsoft wanted to do. Them not doing Windows RT is the clearest message, I think, they could ever send that they are not that follower.
You could say the die was cast when they bought WebOS, though.
Fair
and
enough.
Said, but we're getting out of the PC business. That might have been a little indicator.
But when that, okay, but, you know, it's HP is not a continuum because obviously right. they've had
that
different
was Leo
leadership.
Apotheker, and now it's somebody else.
Yeah, and WebOS crashed hard for them, right. And you think that would be the perfect time for them to come running back to Microsoft, but, you know, we'll see. You know, right now they're rumored to be doing an Android device. They have a Chromebook coming, you know. This is not how HP of, you know, 5, 7, 10 years ago would have acted.
Is there anybody that's like that anymore? That says we're...
Dell?
Dell is, I guess it's Dell. Although they make, and they're making a lot of hay about an Ubuntu laptop they're selling now.
Sure.
And they're selling it, you know, used to be, they've always made Linux-based laptops, but you had to dig to find them now.
I actually see Lenovo heading in that direction. They do sell Android devices, of course, and an Android phone in China. But honestly, I think it's just because Microsoft didn't have anything at the time. And I wouldn't be surprised to see Lenovo become that new favored partner of Microsoft's and have them be all Windows as this stuff matures. I expect to see them come out with a Windows phone, for example. And certainly they have Windows tablets. So they did jump right on board with that stuff. And
I do think, though, that we're in a more heterogeneous world than we used to be. There are other choices, and it makes sense for any company, especially given that Microsoft's selling hardware.
Yeah, Leo, there are no other choices, actually, and I refuse to even acknowledge that comment.
Windows or nothing.
That is no.
They don't call it the super site for Windows for nothing.
Right. It's not the super site for heterogeneous computing, Leo.
I would submit that that's good for consumers. Choice is good, and it's probably good for those companies too. Why should they make only one kind of thing?
Sure.
I do like it though. Actually, I take that back. And I never liked HP as PCs because they had so much crapware. But I love Lenovo's. And I love the ThinkPad line, and I think if anybody,
they're the guys. If they could,
they're
get it
the
right.
guys.
Yeah, they're
and,
the guys.
And maybe Vizio, as they come up with some really nice looking hardware and signature PCs. I don't know how well that business is doing for them, but they're the guys, not HP. I don't even care if HP is a Microsoft house.
I know. Well, it's just interesting. I mean, it's not like we've had some expose where the hidden emails between the CEOs are finally revealed. I mean, you can just see how it's changed. Yeah. You know, even externally, you can see how it's changed. HP was, they dove headfirst into Windows Home Server.
Right.
When that came out, you know, so it's changed in that little amount of time. You know, whenever you could chart it from the second version of Windows Home Server, whatever year that came out a couple of years ago, that's when it started. Because that's the one where they were like, no, we're not doing that. You know, that's when it started. And that was probably the same year as WebOS. In fact, it definitely was because the home server guys actually moved over to WebOS. It's just interesting. That's why we don't. It's not in the notes or anything.
Something to observe and watch. Yeah.
Yep.
We did mention that Windows Live Messenger it's checking into the hospice. And
but no, this is that Monty Python movie. I'm not dead yet.
Dead yet.
You know,
you're dead.
You're dead. Yeah,
it's a dead Polly. Yeah. But they've changed the clock. It's what now? What is the? I just saw that email. I was just looking at it. What did they say? April.
April 8th is
April
the
8th?
New start. And
okay.
Originally, it was supposed to be March 15th, but it seems like only 1% of all the existing users are going to be pushed over on that date, and then April 8th, everybody else will start being pushed.
Now, pushed off the cliff.
It feels like off the cliff. Yeah, it does.
All issues of Skype as a messenger or an IM client aside, I mean, obviously it's not ideal. What the hell?
That's a great way to put it.
What the hell? I mean, it seems to me we've had more problems with Skype since Microsoft bought them than ever before. It's not a better product than it was. Maybe it's even a worse product than it was.
Well, I will say this. I think you're right. We can't actually blame Microsoft. Well, actually, I guess we can. In other words, it's not because Microsoft interfered with Skype and made it worse.
No, they're not interfering with it at all.
Microsoft's like, you know, whatever. We spend billions on you. Do it. Go nuts.
Fix it. Make it good.
Release new versions for iOS and Android that have features Windows doesn't. Don't worry about it. Do whatever you want. Right. No, that's you guys are completely autonomous. I mean, it's insane how Microsoft has handled Skype. And now, of course, I think we talked about last week probably. Oh, maybe we didn't. So Microsoft has put the Link group into Skype, which is potentially bad, but when they put the Windows Live group into Windows.
You kind of saw that happen because Link is really their enterprise Skype. So they kind
of... Link is awesome, Leo. See, and this is why I'm worried about this.
Because the problem.
Link is unique at Microsoft in that it actually works really well, and it's nice and it's simple. And it has a nice UI. And Skype is a disaster. It's like a... I'm worried. So the good news is the back end of Skype, which I think is the important bit, the audio and video chatting stuff, you know, the service,
I guess. The back end is always the important bit.
Okay. Combined with the front end of Skype, of Link, which is the part that they got right, really right. Is a good combination, and that's something that Microsoft's working toward as well. And for some reason, this is not in the notes. I guess
we moved Link down.
I'm sorry. Maybe we should hold off on this.
Yeah, we could talk about it now or not. It's up to you.
Go ahead.
I'm sorry.
Whatever you want.
I didn't mean to steal your thunder.
I'll tell you what. No. While you guys debate, let me do an ad. You can figure it out. Work it out.
I was confused why
yourselves.
I wasn't there. Okay, that makes sense. I see. I'm sorry.
Maybe that's the warning we're getting. Is that you guys have decided different things. Can I talk about Ring Central?
Please do.
Just briefly.
I'll apologize to Mary Jo and Messenger.
You have till April 8th.
Someone has to use it.
Actually, this is kind of germane. Ring Central is our business phone system that we use. It's a cloud-based system. It's the number one cloud-based system. It's fantastic. You've heard me talk about it before. We had to install a phone system in the studio when we built it. Because I was having people at the old place, at the cottage, everybody would just, you know, use your cell phone. And really, that's not very businesslike. And employees don't really like it. So we got, but I didn't want to go to get a big PBX in the basement and all the hassles and the hairball that is. Russell Tammany, our consulting IT guy, I always give him praise for telling us about RingCentral. And we're really happy. No startup costs. There's no PBX. There's no hardware at all. It's all cloud-based. But you do get the phones, and you can choose your own phones. We chose Polycom phones. $20 a month per user. Actually, when you buy the phone now, they have a special deal just for Windows Weekly listeners. When you buy a desk phone, you'll get a second phone free, up to 20 phones total. So it's even more affordable. And you can try it with a 30-day risk-free trial. 800-543-9980. That's a special number just for Windows Weekly listeners. Or visit ringcentral.com. The promo code for this is TWIT. Ring Central is everything you'd want. They've got apps, so you can run the Ring Central app, make phone calls from your cell phone that are billed to the company and appear as the company number. They now have SMS messaging. This is really cool. You can do business text messaging from our number. Incoming messages to our number go to the person's phone as if it's a text message, except it's through Ring Central. That is really great. Send text messages to not just to colleagues, but to customers, too, from your business phone number. RingCentral.com. Promo code is TWIT or visit 800, call 800-543-9980 for that 30-day trial and the free phone offer. That's 800-543-9980. 9980 ringcentral.com. The Microsoft doesn't have a phone system. Although I think over time people probably are going to move to VoIP and things like that for a long time.
It's these little things, you know. They don't have like an RSS reader. I mean, a service, you know.
Right. Obviously, there's some stuff that the third party, almost said the third world, could provide.
Yeah. Third world, yeah.
Third world revive. Yeah. Yeah.
Yep.
Link, though, has
a voice.
Well,
you could say, I mean, right? Link is basically their replacement for a PBX, right?
Right.
Kind of what it is.
So they're in that business.
Well, I sort okay. Yeah, right.
Now, what happens to Link? Because Skype does not do that.
Well, this, right. Maybe let's shut up and let Mary Jo talk.
All right. It's all yours, Mary Jo.
It's funny because all these stories are so interwoven, right? Skype, Link, Messenger, right? So what's happening is, like Paul said, they moved the Link division under Skype. And so over time, what they're planning to do is actually enable Skype and Link to federate and connect. Believe it or not, they don't do that right now, even though they're in the same division and they're owned by the same company. Originally, the idea was supposed to be when Microsoft came out with Link 2013, which it already has out and it RTM'd last October. The plan was they were going to have this federation and integration with Skype built in. That didn't happen for some reason. And I don't think a lot of people noticed. I didn't. So we just found out this week that Link Skype integration is going to be a two-step thing. The instant messaging and the conferencing components are going to be federated starting around June of this year instead of now. And the video part isn't going to be happening until next year, like next summer probably. So this is taking longer than they thought. They said it's more complex than they thought it was going to be. So, yeah, that's what's happening to make those two platforms more interoperable.
Okay.
It's not horrible, but it's taking longer than people expected and
wanted.
It's
like Ebola. It's eating it from the inside out.
Yeah.
Liquefying its vital organs in a two-step process.
That's the definition of cloud computing.
Got some Windows Phone quickies for us, Mr. P?
Yeah, the Portico update, that first update for Windows Phone 8 is heading out to HTC Windows Phone 8X handsets on Verizon this week. It went to AT&T phones and I want to say Summit. Was it Rogers in Canada perhaps? Last month, I'm not positive about that. But I guess some other phones as well. So that's nice. It's happening, you know, slowly as things do around here. And then sort of like the bomber comments from Technology Review, Bill Gates was quoted on CBS News as criticizing what people took to be Windows Phone. He specifically said Microsoft's mobile strategy. And I think what he was really talking about was the strategy against the iPhone, you know, meaning from several years ago, especially.
Because Ballmer initially dismissed the iPhone and said it's too expensive. Nobody wants that.
Well, okay. You know, by the way, so interesting
and
that you bring
laughed
that
out loud, I believe.
So people play this as they would, you know, now and say, oh, look how out of date he was, you know, how clueless he was. People forget this. The iPhone debuted at $600.
It was
too expensive.
Yeah.
Apple dropped the price like 30 days later.
Right.
So at the moment that he said that, the iPhone was the most crazily expensive phone on the market. And Apple actually dropped the price, an unprecedented thing for Apple to do. So it's a little unfair to look back on that and make fun of him for that because the iPhone was crazy expensive when it came out. I mean, again, people forget that. But Microsoft did not react quickly to it. But by the way, no one did. So, you know, RIM obviously didn't. Microsoft didn't. And I think that's what he was talking about. In other words, that Microsoft likes to think of itself as this leader. And obviously they're not leading in the smartphone market, the mobile market, whatever. You could take mobile to mean everything from not just smartphones, but also devices as well. So they didn't lead in these markets. They don't lead in these markets. And I that's what he was saying. So it's interesting because Bill Gates says it. I don't think it was directed at Windows Phone.
It's mobile strategy.
Just mobile strategy. That's how he said it.
And we're all going to Barcelona next week.
God, I wish we were all going to Barcelona.
I wish we were too.
Yeah, that'd be
Mobile
awesome.
World Congress in Barcelona every year. Paul was there last year. Yeah. Will Nokia be there this year? Will Microsoft be there this year? What will we see? Samsung announced the Ativ last year at MWC, right? I think so.
Yeah, Microsoft, I haven't heard a word about anything they're doing at MWC. I mean, I'm sure they're going to be there, but Nokia is going to be there for sure, and they're having a press conference, I think, on the first day. I wonder, there's been rumors, I think, that they might announce another phone in the Lumia family. Some people think they might even show off a Windows 8 tablet of some sort. Not a Windows RT one, though. I think a Windows 8 one. But I don't know for sure about anything that Microsoft's doing. If anything, I would think they might talk about other, like if there's a next minor update coming to Windows Phone, something like the follow-on to Portico, but not yet Windows Phone Blue. I don't think they'll talk about that yet.
I wish they would, though. Don't you? I mean, don't you wish they'd just kind of say, look, this is a big year for Windows Phone. Here's what's happening. You know, maybe we have a couple of updates.
Microsoft's not even said the word blue. It's like a banned word like Metro at this
Which
point.
Which is why like exactly why they should come out and just address it.
You know? You ask them, will you guys comment on Windows Blue? They're like, we don't even know what you're talking about.
What's
okay,
blue?
Well,
what is that? What is blue? Yeah. I don't know that. Yeah.
Yep. And by the way, if Nokia comes out with a Windows 8 tablet and not a Windows RT tablet, that's everything you need to know about Windows RT.
Yeah, no kidding.
Right. I mean, seriously, they make ARM devices. I mean,
that's their
this
thing.
Is something they know and understand.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Of course,
I don't know. I mean, that's just a rumor.
Surface RT.
That's a rumor still.
Too. Remember, you know, this was a different Nokia. It was basically a different company. But when Windows 7 came out, they came out with a very expensive netbook, which everyone was really excited about because it was from them and they were known for having really high quality machines. And that thing was kind of a dud. I don't remember the name of it, but it was a big deal for like 10 seconds.
Yeah. I don't remember it either. So, Mary Jo, if you want to just go have a beer.
Yeah, I think I'll just leave now.
This is the year. We're gonna get an Xbox in Mary Jo's apartment this year. This is the year.
Actually, you know, this PlayStation 4, as little as we know about it, and they really didn't tell us much at all, does sound like it will have a media strategy. I was surprised to hear and, in fact, confirm that the Netflix is the PS3 is the number one hardware platform for Netflix.
Yeah.
That surprised me.
Is very interesting, yeah.
I think because it's got a Blu-ray in it, that people do see that more as a living room entertainment unit than the Xbox.
I think you're right. But
so maybe we'll get her a PlayStation 4.
Without knowing anything about the numbers, just looking at the world, I would sort of assume that Xbox was killing PlayStation, you know, that...
Yeah, I would too.
Actually, they're neck and neck. It's very close.
I know. It was quite a surprise to see that.
Yeah.
And I think PlayStation 4 is a shot across the bow of Microsoft. It's very interesting that they did it now and not at E3. They're giving Microsoft time to respond.
Well, Microsoft's doing the same thing, by the way. They're going to have an early announcement as well.
Are they?
Yeah. The one thing that I find curious about the PlayStation 4 coverage is that a lot of people are saying, you know, how do you launch a console and not show the console, you know? And actually, I thought they did a very good job of addressing that, where they said, you know, in the past, we used to push the hardware. We used to talk about how this thing was a supercomputer on a chip, and that's what was important. And they're saying, you know, in today's world, the important stuff is the interconnectedness, you know, that you can have someone that you know watch you playing a video game or watch a recording of it later on any device, not just a video game, but a tablet, a computer, whatever. And the ability to do all these other things, that the center of this thing is not the device. It's like you. It's you and the connections that you have. And then they went on to discuss virtually everything except what the thing looks like. And, you know, ultimately, I mean, who cares what it looks like? That's not important in the slightest. The PlayStation 3 has had several hardware revisions. The current version looks nothing like, or almost nothing like the original PlayStation 3. Who cares what it looks like? You know, but it's weird how everyone is kind of focusing on that bit of it. I think it's also very interesting that they're using x86 hardware because this is a very well understood quantity. And of course, they're going, it's kind of a unique 8-core kind of AMD, you know, weird thing with AMD graphics and all that kind of stuff. But it's x86. I mean,
that's huge.
Very well understood.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Steam was not there, was kind of visible in their absence.
Yeah.
That was a partner that, you know, they had added Steam.
Steam is going down crazy guy with a gun route. Like, they're
I wonder.
Gaming, and they're just...
And would you rather have a Steam box or a PS4 that's x86 based that could play Windows games that has Blizzard at least kind of dipping a toe in? I think this is all challenging to Steam, and more so than Xbox, frankly.
Well, we'll see, right? Because Xbox will do their own announcement. I have a feeling that...
When are they going to do that? You said before E3.
A couple of months.
Oh, interesting.
I think that Xbox and PlayStation 4 are going to be very similar.
I agree.
I think that's how this is going.
And in some ways, Xbox is playing catch-up to Microsoft, to the social, certainly.
And the media stuff, especially.
Media stuff. Netflix somebody made this point. One of the reasons Netflix is not big on Xbox, you have to pay for Xbox Gold.
Well, the other reason is on Xbox, you have a lot of choice. So
there's other stuff.
You know, when you're on the PlayStation, it's kind of a barren environment for video. There's not a lot going on there. So, you know, Netflix is it. But I think it was Sony who said when Microsoft launched the Xbox 360, which they did, by the way, a year before Sony Nintendo launched their then next generation consoles. They said, I believe it was Sony who said, the next generation begins when we say it does, not when Microsoft enters the market. I think it was Sony that said
that. That's pretty funny.
So hopefully Microsoft will have a take on that quote when they announce
it. Word means what I say it means.
Yeah. Right. It's not the next generation until we're there.
Now, the interesting thing is it looks pretty clear that we will have both a PlayStation 4 and a new generation Xbox this Christmas. So this is going to be a hell of a battleground this holiday season.
Here's another thing to consider is that this console and presumably the Xbox console are, from a hardware perspective, completely incompatible with the previous generation.
Right.
People have been talking about whether they could emulate, you know, the PS3 or whatever in this, and, you know, maybe, but...
Well, they'll use Gaikai to stream, they even said, to stream PS1, 2, and 3 games, but you won't be able to run them.
Won't be able to run them, okay.
And x86 makes sense because now you kind of have an easier development platform cross not only Xbox and PlayStation, but a Windows. And so developers are going to flock to these platforms.
I think that was the dig against the PS3, too, was that the
too hard to develop.
Hardware was so well, people didn't understand it. And then the developer tools were horrible.
Right.
It had a hard time getting up to speed. That's one area where Microsoft has always done a really good job.
Microsoft has done so well with independence and XNA, and the independent development has been fantastic on Xbox. And clearly Sony said, we got to do better there. And they have done some really interesting stuff, and I think more to come. It's all good news for a gamer. Right?
Yeah, the few, the proud, you know. it's kind of unclear how many there are. I mean, it's tens of millions of people. You know, it's not a billion people. It's not...
No, it's true. That's a good point.
That's why they have to get into the entertainment stuff. You know, it has to do more than just play these admittedly amazing-looking video games. I mean, this stuff today on the PS3 and the Xbox 360, which are amazing. And then if you watch the press conference ahead, some of the stuff on the PS4 looks just beautiful.
Other interesting thing was Jonathan Blow, the guy who did Braid for Xbox.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of defecting, it looked like, over to the Sony side.
Which game was his? I don't even remember.
Braid.
No, which game on the...
The name of it was. Oh, I don't remember. It was pretty cool. I remember that.
Was it The Witness or something? Is that
something there? Something like that. Chat room will know. What was Jonathan Blow's game? We're exclusive to... it was The Witness. Okay.
It was The Witness. Yeah, okay. That makes sense based on what the graphics look like. If you haven't seen it, he was one of the guys in that indie game video, which is amazing. I think it chronicles the three developers creating games for Xbox and the various issues they had.
It's unbelievable.
Really, really good.
So, Witness is that kind of mist-like, pretty interesting game. Very pretty.
Kind of cartoony almost.
Yeah, it almost looks like watercolor painting. It was just very gorgeous.
Yeah.
Well, I just think it's good news for all around. And I think we're going to see a battle. And I just want to let Sony and Microsoft know that we will welcome their ad dollars as they vie to become the number one platform in the living room. We can help you.
I didn't. By the way, PlayStation 4. I mean, I don't care about the PlayStation personally. I'm kind of an Xbox guy, obviously. But I didn't see anything there that I felt was out of bounds or ridiculous or cause for concern. I I thought what they did looked great. So we'll see. I mean, Microsoft has got a lot to live up to now. So I'm very, very curious to see how Microsoft comes out of the gate.
Sony must feel confident, because you wouldn't want to be the first if you didn't. If you feel confident that you could do it, Microsoft. Do you think, now here's something I said yesterday. By the way, we had live coverage of the announcement. You could get it on our Twit Live specials at twit.tv. Mm-hmm. Which was great, because we had Anthony Carboni from Revision 3 and Brian Brushwood. So two really serious gamers, and Anthony's a real game journalist, as opposed to me. I'm just a game.
I just get played.
One of the things that I posited, and I wonder if you have something to say about this, is that Microsoft's pretty busy right now with Surface and Windows 8, and Xbox may not be a high priority for them, even though it is the next generation. Do you think that they have enough bandwidth to?
Yeah, I don't think it works that way. Okay. Xbox is its own thing. You know, we talked about how independent Skype is.
Right.
Actually, the precedent for Skype is Xbox. Okay. I mean,
they got a team. They got all the people.
They're literally physically separated from everyone else. They're the the rest of Microsoft probably can't stand those people, because it's not really a volume business, but it's like the coolest thing at Microsoft.
It's the cool
by
business.
Far.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so those guys are like gods. Yeah. You know?
Yeah.
They must annoy everyone. Yeah. The people in the office of Windows teams must hate those people.
Yet to be proven that they're even making any money.
Yeah, I can't get back to you. I'm busy playing video games.
It's my job. You know,
yeah, I'll call you on Friday, maybe. You know what I mean? It must be like.
Anything else you want to say before we get to our picks and tip and all of that?
I want to say Alan Mitchell's idea of starting a Kickstarter to get me an Xbox is a no.
No, do not start an Indiegogo, a Kickstarter. If you want to mail her an Xbox.
Can we
mail you a new Skype machine? That would be a good start.
Yeah, you guys are. You're mailing me a new Skype
machine. Oh, gosh, good. Thank God.
No, on the Xbox, you know, I think I'm the customer they need to convince. I'm actually, like, if you guys can convince me that I would need and want a 720 in my 450-square-foot apartment, then you've won the market.
That's a whole square-foot shot.
Yeah. There you go.
What if we hung it outside like one of those air conditioning units?
Yeah. Put it out the window.
That's what it needs to do. It needs to be
out
of
the face of it.
You know. It'll avoid the red ring of death. Nice. Keep it nice and cool out there.
Yeah.
We're going to get you.
But what is it, Paul? What's going to be the wedge? Is it media?
It's not going to be video games, right? Media. It's going to be the interconnectedness with the Microsoft services, and it's going to be the entertainment stuff.
Yeah.
I think that's going to be the big deal.
Let's not put the cart before the horse. Do you have a television, Mary Jo? She doesn't have a TV, Paul.
Nope.
This is a bigger mountain than I thought.
Do you have a transistor radio of some kind? Is there a flashlight?
I have one of hand crank radios.
He doesn't have a TV. You have one of those Etonics in case of emergency radios.
Those things that like mountain climbers bring up, where they tack the sheet to the side of the mountain and they sleep in it. Is that how you sleep? What is that?
I do. I have one of those hammocks.
Do you have a Murphy bed that comes from the wall?
No Murphy.
Where do you put the beer?
Yeah, that's the priority. See, like, you have to have priorities.
She's got 450 square feet, 800 square feet of beer.
Yeah. How many vertical feet do you have?
Actually, my ceilings are really high in here, so you could suspend something from the ceiling,
we're talking
it might work.
Volume, not square footage, not area. Mary Jo is dedicated to her work, says Matt Castle.
I don't see that much on TV that I can't look at on a computer if I want to see it.
You ain't missing anything. Anybody intelligent does not have a TV, as Paul and I will vouch for. The time we have spent wasting in front of the TV, in front of the video game, that we would be the next Da Vinci if we didn't sink so much of our genius, our power, our wit, our intuition.
You know what? If I knew humanity. Who that or what that was, I might agree with that statement. But is that the hit new CBS series,
Leo? Yeah, it's Da Vinci.
It's CSI on after
Da
Elemental.
Vinci. You're going to love it.
Yeah. It's a painter who solves crimes during the Renaissance using early CSI type techniques. You know it's coming.
That's a hit. I got to write that down.
You know it's coming.
a medieval procedural.
Maybe he has visions and he paints like what the crime scene looked like.
Yeah. Oh, that's good. I like it. I like it. Keep working on along those lines. CSI Da Vinci. There is a new series about Da Vinci.
CSI Da Vinci. CSI Renaissance.
Yes.
Oh, God.
Ancient Victims Unit. All right. We are going to take a break, and then we will come back, and we will have a pick. We don't have an Audible. I'm sorry, Paul.
That's okay.
Save your Audible book for next time. But we will have a tip and a pick of the week and a code name and a beer, which I can't wait to try. I don't even drink beer, and you're making me want beer.
Good. That's good.
That is a really normal need. I drank nothing but Dos Equis this week. Believe me, I wanted beer,
you
know, too.
You need better beer. Dos Equis isn't bad.
You can tell when you're in a warm place because the beer is basically just water.
Yeah.
You know,
it's refreshing. It's just, at least it was a warm place. Our show today brought to you by Carbonite.com. It's backup done right. If you're going to back up, there's a few things you really want, you really need. You need it to be automatic so you don't have to think about it. You should have it continuous, like always, so if you update a file, it automatically gets backed up immediately. Sync, you know. And here's the thing, off-site. Off-site. And might as well throw in affordable. Carbonite's all of the above. $59 a year for everything on your computer. It's automatic. It's continuous. Backs it up to their servers. You can encrypt it, so you have trust no one privacy. It uses SSL, so it doesn't matter if you're using it in an open access spot or at home. It's going to be completely safe and secure. And it's cloud storage. You can access your Carbonite files anytime. You don't have to wait for a disaster. Just log on to your Carbonite account on any computer, Mac or PC, or from the smartphone and tablet apps they offer for free. And there's your stuff. Unlimited backup for your PC or Mac, $59 a year. Try it free. Go to Carbonite.com and use our offer code Windows, and you get the free trial for 2 weeks. You don't need a credit card. If you decide to buy, you'll get 2 months free, 14 months for the price of 12, just because you used the offer code Windows, our way of saying thank you for letting Carbonite know where you heard about it. Carbonite.com. You got to back it up to get it back, so do it right with Carbonite. Paul Thurrott, your tip of the week.
What is my tip of the week? I have two tips.
I can read it to you.
Yeah, would you? The first one is that Microsoft is working on a series of videos, which I've gotten a preview called, actually they're not called Office Garage, but I think of them as Office Garage. But basically every Wednesday through at least June and possibly into the future, they're going to release a video aimed at IT pros that will teach them what they need to know about managing, deploying, maintaining Office 2013. And part of the reason is that I think there's a lot of misconceptions about Office 2013. People think that it's something that maybe doesn't run locally on your computer. It doesn't have the same capabilities as previous versions for IT pros and so forth. And that's not the case. So some cool stuff
coming on
that front. Yeah, it's really cool.
This is something we've seen more and more, which is brands doing their own media. And it's smart.
Yeah.
It's just smart.
And they're really well done. It just looks really great.
And they are actually in a garage. Well,
literally in a garage. No, it's a garage.
It's a garage in the Microsoft offices. So they've taken over some offices, put a garage door in.
There's a garage.
And then they're jumping out of airplanes. So what could go wrong?
Yeah, they do an awesome thing where they they have the guy can't deploy a chute until they've installed Office over the internet.
Jib. This is pro, man. This is pro.
Yeah, it's good.
Very nice. And that is, where should I go to get that?
It is, I believe it's Microsoft.com/garage, and it's going to start on Wednesday the 27th.
So this isn't from, I want to call it Plan 9. This isn't...
Channel 9.
Channel 9.
Which is nothing like Plan 9.
Right. Completely different. This is its own, because it's the IT Pro blog, so they give them some resources.
Yeah, it's its own thing. Yeah.
Make a video, you guys. Cool. Tip two.
Good guys.
Yeah.
The second tip is just another quickie. Last summer when Outlook.com was in preview mode, I wrote a series of tips about switching to Outlook.com. And now that it's not in preview, I don't know what's changed exactly. But I went back and looked at them, and I collected them all and just did a single article with I put the woman with the knife in there. It looks like the woman from Meg... can't think of the actress's name. The woman from Sleepless in Seattle.
Meg Ryan, yeah.
Meg Ryan, doesn't it?
Yeah. I'll chop anyway. What she's chopping.
Yeah. So she's got her Surface Pro there, and it's just a collection of the tips that I wrote previously.
Cool. So. I have to read this. This is great.
All right. So when you're switching from Gmail or whatever.
Yeah. WinSupersite.com, of course.
Yes. And also in the Wayback Machine sense, the software pick this week is Angry Bird Seasons on Windows Phone 8. If you have any other kind of smartphone, you probably played this about 2 years ago. But it's available now with Windows Phone 8. It's only 99 cents, rather.
This is worth it because they update it for every holiday, so you always get
it. And it is a great game, obviously.
It's worth 99 cents.
And it's Windows Phone 8 specific. Which I thought was kind of interesting.
Like you can't run it on 7.7.5?
Unless there's a version. I don't know if this is the only one that came up for me because that's what I'm using, but... You know, this version is literally for Windows Phone.
Kind of annoying that it's sideways, though. Can they get a?
Microsoft doesn't know how the web works.
The screenshots.
It's unbelievable.
Are sideways.
Yeah, you wonder. You know, people wonder why I'm a crazy person. And it's the little things. These things add up, Leo. I'm telling you, it's like a little. It's just a little chip out of my soul every time something like this happens.
It's not. You know, Paul. You just turn your head. And,
no, and
it's completely head,
what, cough. What are you talking about?
Turn your head sideways, and they look fine. It's kind of hard on the neck, though.
This is what it's like covering Microsoft. Yep,
that is a little strange.
It's unbelievable.
Our enterprise pick of the week, Mary Jo Foley.
Yes, my enterprise pick of the week. It is partially Link 2013 that we already talked about, but a bigger piece of this is
maybe we could start
Office.
Using that with you.
Yes.
Unfortunately, though, the video, it won't be till next June, though. Oh. Next, like 2014.
Yeah. Oh,
right, 2014 for the video part syncing up. If you want to sync Skype and link, that is. But the bigger picture thing here is on February 27th next week, Microsoft's going to be launching the other part of its new Office, which is the Office 365 Business SKUs. So they've already announced and launched Office 2013 and Office 365 Home Premium. But the part that a lot of IT pros care about are the business SKUs. So Office 365 Small Business, Small Business Premium, the Pro Plus, the Midsize Business, and the Enterprise. All of those are going to be launched on February 27th. Microsoft's having a virtual webcast to launch them. No big event or anything. But this is when they're really going to start pushing out the new Office bits to business users. Some of the enterprise users already have been getting the refreshed Exchange Online, Link Online, and SharePoint Online. But most ordinary people are going to not start getting this until February 27th or sometime afterwards. So next week is really the big part of the Office 365 launch, and that's why it's the enterprise pick of the week.
I'm sorry, I was having a beer. You got me in the mood.
Nice.
Codename pick of the week. I like this one.
Yeah, I didn't know the codename of this. Big Splash is the codename pick of the week. Big Splash is the codename for Xamarin 2.0, which launched this week.
Now, Xamarin sounds like some strange medication.
No. Xamarin is the guys, Miguel Díaz-Casa and Nat Friedman.
That's why.
Who did the original work around Mono and Mono Develop. And this week they launched their latest suite of tools for people who want to develop in C#.
Mono is the disease. Xamarin is the cure, right?
Yes, exactly.
Yes.
Yeah, so the big splash part of this, my guess, is what they announced this week that was kind of a wow was they're letting people use Visual Studio to develop C# applications for iOS.
Whoa.
Yeah, that's kind of a big deal, right?
I don't know if Apple is going to let them do it. Wow.
I don't think they can stop them.
They used to have a clause in there that you couldn't use other person's tools, but I think they eliminated it. The developers were so angry about that.
Yeah, and Microsoft used to have a clause saying you could not extend Visual Studio to work on other platforms or with other platforms, but they did away with that a few years ago. So the Xamarin guys have created a plugin so that if you want to use Visual Studio and develop a C# app that'll run on iOS, Android, Windows, it's pretty cool because if you want to be a mobile developer and actually have your code more translatable and work across all the different platforms, you might want to seek out the new Xamarin stuff.
Cool. And finally, let's get a beer.
Let's get a beer. I was trying to think of a good beer for the episode 300 of Windows Weekly. So I came up with the Single Cut Beer Smiths. They have something called Eric, More Cowbell. It's a milk stout. Ed, that's the cowbell reference. Single Cut's a beer brewer in Queens, brand new. In Queens, New York. And the reference obviously is Eric and the cowbell in that Saturday Night Live skit.
I've got a fever.
Has one. The Blue Oyster Cult, yep. Eric.
What we need in here is more cowbell.
More cowbell.
Yep.
Now, so for Windows Weekly, is there milk involved in a milk stout, actual milk?
No, there's actually milk sugars that you add towards the end of the brewing process. Lactose. So it gives it a very milky taste and feel, very creamy and smooth. Huh.
And the head is creamier. And
exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. More cowbell. Singlecutbeer.com. Please drink responsibly. Compute responsibly. Drink. But do consume mass quantities. All right, ladies and gentlemen. You know, no point in sending anybody. We have the audience just arrived, but we're just ending Windows Weekly. So you guys, you may want to just... go in the other room.
Well, let's recap quickly. So okay. This Chromebook thing.
Let's recap. Let's start over right from the beginning. Chromebook, Pixel, yay or nay, too expensive. Then we talked a little bit about Windows Blue. Here it comes. Milestone 1. Surface Pro. Okay. We've been Skyped. Windows Phone.
Skypled.
PlayStation 4. Picks, Skypled. Tips, code names, and beer. Thank you very much, everybody.
Wow, what did we just spend like 2 hours on? Oh, and I wore a hat.
And Paul wore a hat. This would be, if you'd listen to the audio of the show, it would be worth just downloading the first few minutes of the video so you could see Paul's massive hat.
Not really into headwear.
I have a hat collection. I do love hats for some reason. So if you want to send me your giant, well, that's your daughter's. You can't give it up.
She has already taken it.
Oh, she went and came and got it?
Yeah.
Dad, I told you to stop wearing my hats on podcasts. Please.
I get a lot of comments like that from her, actually.
She's almost a teenager.
Yep.
Yeah. It's only going to get worse. Paul Thurrott writes the Super Site for Windows, winsupersite.com, when his children let him and Call of Duty allows. You could visit that or buy any of his great books. He's got a lot of them. Windows 7 Secrets, Windows Phone Secrets, and he's working on the new Windows 8 book online at, what is it, Windows 8, the book?
Windows Phone book.
It's not Windows 8, it's Windows Phone. Windows Phone, the book. Because he already did Windows 8 Secrets. That's out.
Right.
WindowsPhoneTheBook.com.
Windows Phone book.
WindowsPhoneBook.com. All right. So if you
also actually... an Xbox music book.
Oh, really?
Small book, a little booklet, a pamphlet, one might say.
It's okay. It's just an e-book.
Windows, it's a brochure.
Mary Jo Foley writes all about Microsoft for ZDNet at allaboutmicrosoft.com and makes beer in her spare time. In her tiny little walk-up flat. Now, they have an elevator. You couldn't get all the stout up there.
Exactly.
Yeah. We do this show 11 a.m. Pacific, 2 p.m. Eastern time on Thursdays. That's 1900 UTC on twit.tv. Do watch live. We'd love it if you're here. The chat room is always a big part of the show. But if you can't watch live, Cadman says, the problem with your hat, Paul, is you could see the pixels.
Yes.
If you can't watch live, we can make audio and video versions available to you. And yes, indeed, we will at twit.tv/ww. Or wherever finer internet programming is made available. Paul, Mary Jo, thank you. We'll see you next week on Windows Weekly. You know, this Chromebook doesn't actually look that beautiful. It's very boxy.
I know, it's boxy.
For that price.
It looks... It's boxier than the first PowerBook. Sorry,
Lenovo
Titanium
looks like
PowerBook.
A, looks like a
from years ago.
Yeah. Or it looks like an old ThinkPad.
Yeah, it's
Google.
It is not a pretty machine.
Why?
I give them a little credit for being so weird, but this is ludicrous. This is weird.
It's more expensive than an Air. You get more, less for more.
You get way less storage.
Way less for more.
So you got that going for you.
What the hell's the point here?
I have no idea.
That's kind of bizarre.
It is more than kind of bizarre.
What is really boxy, really ugly. This looks like a prototype. It doesn't even look like they finished it.